Company of One, episode number 9. Welcome to the 9th episode of Company of One. My name is Dale Callahan, and in this podcast, I'm here to help you learn how to take ownership and control of your career, of your time, of your income. Instead of letting circumstances such as job titles, annual reviews, many other things like that determine how much we make, how much time we have, how much time we can spend with the kids, how much time we can spend with the family, how the job dictates our time. Why do we do that? Instead, we have complete control. We just don't really know it. In this, we're going to look and we're going to examine how to get back some of that control. In fact, we're going to look at one particular thing today. I'm going to try to answer questions that I get in various forms. And basically, it comes down to this. As I work with wannabe entrepreneurs, as somebody says, they're wannabe entrepreneurs. As I work with people who are trying to find ways to chase their dream, but you know, they're not going to be foolish and they're not just going to go quit their day job and chase their dream on no income and put their entire family at risk. Instead, they're going to do it the wise way. How do you get time to do that when you're so busy chasing, you know, the job itself, which is the typical corporate job, is pushing 60 hours a week. For those smart, college educated or not, those smart people out there doing a good job and providing a great service and actually making a good income. You know, but 60 hours a week, you pull that into family life and the pressures of getting things done just with family, with households, with getting back and forth to work in terms of commute time, there's really not enough time left to go after that dream, to chase and carve away those things, much less to study and to look at things. That's why a lot of you are listening to podcasts on your car, and many of you I know are listening to this podcast on your way to work, because that's what you tell me you do. Some of you are listening to it when you work out, in the little bit of time you've carved to do that and take care of your body. So we're going to look at that, and how do you get some time to do that? That's going to be the big question today, to try to help you find some moments, or even better, some hours to do just that. And this episode is being brought to you by the webinar series, Awaken Your Entrepreneur. This is a series that we've been doing through a local workshop here. I've been doing this the past 5 weeks. It's been a blast. It's been a stunning success in terms of really creating a spirit of an entrepreneurial spirit in the people that are in the group. Some of the people that have been in this group are already entrepreneurs. They're business owners. Many of them are exploring new ventures. We were going to just record that and to make that into a product for sale. But through this, as in through your business ventures, we've learned so much. We've learned so much about what some of the questions are and how to organize material and the types of things that they need to know. One of the things that I will say that my lesson is the lesson that's always taught to me, and the way I appreciate material being brought to me, is you can't dumb it down enough. Now, that sounds a little offensive, but I like material dumbed down. I like baby steps, you know, to use Dave Ramsey's terminology. And quite frankly, so do most of you. And as we went through the material, some of the things, as I always discover, some of the things I thought were obvious were not. So instead of just releasing that as a product, you know, I caught on to the fact that early on in the program that we needed to do break it up into a series, different types of series, to perform it in the right way. So I'm going to be doing that in webinar fashion, and the webinar is going to be coming out. We're going to announce it next week, where we're going to begin a webinar over a series of weeks or a series of classes. Not sure how we're going to arrange it yet. But the webinar is going to be Awaken the Entrepreneur, or Awaken Your Entrepreneur, and it's going to take you from whether you're a current business owner and you're trying to find new markets, trying to find ways to create products and services, especially if you're a service-oriented business and you know that you have no upside because you're basically selling time. And how do you create products out of that? How do you leverage your experience, your skills, your time? Or for those of you who kind of have fuzzy ideas that you want to do something, but you're not really sure what that looks like. And that's who we are gearing this particular workshop toward. And it's called Awaken Your Entrepreneur. And we will be telling you more about that in the next week, and hopefully on the web and on the podcast at dalecallahan.com. We'll be announcing when that comes out and how to register for that. And today on the verse of the day, and I'm not even going to use a verse in particular, not to paraphrase, marginalize the scripture, but more of the thought. You see it so many times. Now, Paul does say it very well in scripture that you think on these things. You know, one of the things that, quite frankly, I struggle with, and I think most of you struggle with, is how we think about things, how we view problems. I've been rereading the book, if you've listened to this podcast, and it's a book I pick up quite often called, what is that book called? Called The Magic of Thinking Big. Again, that's a part I would edit out if we were doing a lot of editing. But it's called The Magic of Thinking Big. And now there's lots of books out there in thinking. And if you, as you heard me, if you listen to the thing about network marketing, a lot of things are very new agey and they're kind of edgy, and I don't like them, quite frankly. The Magic of Thinking Big is not really that, but it's really how do you think about things? How do you view about things? How do you view things? How do you view what's going on in your mind, in particular? And you know, when I think about this, when I read a lot of material, and it just comes back to it's all biblical. It's biblical. It's think on these things. And it's what you focus on tends to be what you get. Earl Nightingale says, you know, what you think about is who you become. And that's so true. That is whether I'm thinking about my problems. You know, I tend to be focused on problems. I tend to be focused on the woe is me mentality. And I get woe is me. I become the bitter pill. I'm whining. I'm complaining all the time. I'm guilty of that as much as you are. But then there's the other side of the fence where I am focused on always looking for the positive, always looking for opportunity. I was listening to one of Michael Hyatt's podcasts the other day where he's talking about what will this allow? He's talking about breaking his ankle, and you know, and when something that's an adversity comes at you, asking the question about what good might become of this. What good might become of this? You know, it's a matter of thinking. It's a matter of how you view things. So much that's so important is how you look at things, what spectacles we're looking through, if you will, whether we're looking through the rosy glasses or whether we're looking through dim glasses. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that your thinking changes everything. It doesn't always change external circumstances, but it helps you to make the best of them. And when I understand clearly, and trust me, I work with and coach a lot of people. Or I have coached a lot of people. I'm trying to do less people right now, but it's stunning to me how much talent I see in people, and they view themselves very small. I rarely meet the person who sees himself too big, and I know those people are out there that are seem to be full of it. You know, they seem to be arrogant to the end of arrogance. But when you really drill down to those people, they have such a lack of self-confidence. It's amazing. And that's why they have this air of arrogance. They don't believe in themselves, so they've got to put on a show. And as I work with people, I'm always stunned how little their dreams are, how little the next step that they're trying to accomplish is. They just have very little vision. That's not always. I've had some very surprising examples just recently of some people that I think had a very big vision and a very accurate vision of what they could do. But it's rare. It's very rare. So it's the magic of thinking big. Think on these things. What are you thinking about? How are you thinking? Is it negative all day? As you're driving to work, are you thinking, you know, today's just going to be a lousy day and I'm not going to do very well in this meeting. I'm not going to do very well with these things, these tests I'm running at work or this particular presentation I'm going to do. Is that how you view things? Or are you viewing things like, I'm going to do the best. I'm going to achieve the best. I'm going to be the best. It's a difference in thinking, and it does result in a difference in outcome. Let me give you a case in point. I do a lot of public speaking, but public speaking is something that for a while, you know, I was doing very small groups, five people, 10 people. You know, I was teaching classes, and there became occasions where I was having to speak in front of large groups, you know, 300, 400, 1,000 people. Or more. I remember going into one of these settings where I was going to be up on a stage. I was going to be in front of a large number of people. And I just freaked out. I mean, I just got extremely nervous. To the point I remember standing there thinking, I'm bailing. How can I get out of this gracefully? There's no way to get out of this gracefully. I don't want to be here. I don't want any part of this. I'm just going to walk out. It's going to be embarrassing, but I'm going to walk out and suffer the consequences because I cannot do it. You know, if you suffer from anxiety or you're doing, you know, I thought I was going to pass out. You know, all the negative things that go through your mind when you just freak out and your mind just takes absolute control. And I just had to absolutely gain composure and thought I can't walk out because I was committed. I was one of the main speakers. I was the main speaker, as a matter of fact. And, I would have put the people that had put me there, that had hired me to be there, in a very awkward situation. Now, they didn't know this. It was a real struggle. And you've had those struggles. I mean, I know you have. Whether you're freaking out and you're about to run and hide or something else is happening. You know, we all have those struggles. And I just remember sitting there thinking, no, I'm not putting up with this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to speak so powerfully that I'm going to get a standing ovation. Now, that sounds kind of simple, that sounds kind of silly, but in that one mindset, in my goal from being from dart and run to I'm shooting to impact them so powerfully that I get a standing ovation, it changed my whole composure. Now I was confident. Now I was determined. And as I walked into the room and walked onto the stage and we began the meeting, I had no fear. None whatsoever. I enjoyed the whole experience. I observed everything. You know, and it was kind of one of those all inspiring experiences when you realize that you do have control your thoughts. You have control of your thoughts. You have control of what you do. Now, when I did that talk, and it was well received, did I get a standing ovation? No, I did not. Was that disappointing? Yeah, kind of maybe. But what was, you know, it was just so encouraging because I walked off the stage and it was very well received. And looking back, standing ovation wasn't it, the setting that this was in would have been weird, would have been way out of character for the group. But that was okay. It was, you know, the point is my goal was bigger, so it got me through the situation, and it got me through very well through the situation. So that's what you, when you think about the magic of thinking big, if you're focused on fear, if you're focused on the negatives, that's what you get. That's what you get. But if you're focused on something bigger, whether you achieve that bigger or not, you will find yourself able to do things that you didn't know you could do. You know, in this case, I can walk in front of, I am pretty sure I can walk in front of a group of any size and control it and command it. Now, I'm not saying that egotistically. I'm just saying I know I can, because I'm in control of my mind. I'm in control of that. Nobody else is. And so you think about, it's the magic of thinking big. What is it that's holding you back? Where are your thoughts taking you on a daily basis? You know, we think about those two voices, you know, the positive voices urging us forward, and the negative voice that's telling us we cannot do it. Just squash that voice. We all have it, and it's there. Squash it. Kill it. Don't listen to it. Muzzle it, whatever you're having to do, however violent you have to be with that voice. Listen to the other one 100% of the time. Now, I say that. Do I struggle with that? Absolutely. But there's certain areas that I've conquered it and I've moved on. But I know the answer. The answer is how I think about things dramatically impacts the outcome. So think on those things. Whatever is beautiful, whatever is wonderful, think on these things. Think on the goal that you're trying to achieve, and think on the people that you're trying to impact. That gives you clout. That gives you encouragement, and that gives you the energy you need to carry it off. But let's move on to the podcast. And today we've done something a little bit different. This podcast, I'm on the road a lot. I was going to a speaking event. It was a couple of hours away. I was driving. And during the time, I try to make use of that time. I mean, you can just kill time. As a matter of fact, I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm on my way. And at that time, I listened to two or three on that trip. Shorter ones and one longer one. But I thought about some things as I was thinking about the topic for today. And I went ahead and recorded it. In the car, which means all the garbage goes on, road noise, background noise, not the best audio. But as I brought it back, I was going to re-record it in the studio. And I thought about, no, that doesn't make sense. That's not what I would tell you to do. I would tell you to release it, to go with it. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add it on here. So it's the audio quality is not quite perfect. We tried to get rid of some of the background noise, a little bit of the road noise, and did a pretty decent job of that. You'll still hear some of it. The audio quality is not as high, but I think that you'll find this still very useful. And if you don't, if you're like, hey, that really was lousy, let me know. I mean, I'm always open to constructive criticism. So with that said, we're going to get into the thing or to the session about how to carve out more time to chase your dream. One of the obvious questions that anybody brings up is, if I want to create something on the outside, if I want to do a venture or have a multiple stream of income outside my day job, how do I ever have time to do it? You know, especially when we look at these areas of companies that so many are demanding 50 and 60 and 70 hour weeks. And it seems never ending, by the way. You know, you feel like you're on a project, and as soon as this project's done, it will let up, and it never does. I have so many people I know, especially in the technology world, but not only that, but I just have so many friends that, you know, it just never lets up. You know, when I sit down and talk to them, they'll say, you know, it doesn't let up. It gets worse. It gets more intense, and there might be a short period of breathing, and then it comes again. You know, so how do you get control of this in order, or how are you ever going to create a venture? How are you ever going to have time to make a plan to get out of this mess when you're so big
you know, up to your rear in alligators. You know the analogy, you know, you're too busy to drain the swamp because, you know, you've got the alligators all over you. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening to people. You know, and then you add in the complexities of a household to take care of and relationships and kids and all the kids' activities. You don't have any time left. You're just buried. And so many people I know that are showing up to work, they're getting up early, they're getting into work early to try to get some uninterrupted time at work to get some things done. And then they stay a little later for the same reason, to get some uninterrupted time to get some things done when everybody else goes. So you do that, and there at the time, you know, you come home to the family and there's just this raw exhaustion. How do you get anything done? Let's talk through a couple of ideas. The first thing is to look for that wasted time. Now, I realize some of you could say, some people come in, they say you need to do a time management study of yourself for a week or 2 weeks. And hey, if you can do that, great. I do it for 1 week, no more. You know, where you're just recording how much time you spend. If you've read some of my blog posts, we say that it's been stunning when we do this, that how much time people use on certain tasks, such as email and meetings and water cooler conversations. They way underestimate how much time these things take. Way underestimate by a factor of 4. So you need to get a clear picture of where your time is spent. You know, whether you just kind of walk through with a notepad during the day and make notes, or whether you can sit there and you come in one of these mornings. Let's say you come in on a Monday morning and you come in early, getting in before the activity, resist the urge to open your email and deal with email. I'll talk about that later. Instead, get out a piece of paper and a notepad and just map out those core responsibilities. What are those core functions that you got to do? What are those things that are most critical to your job and getting your job done? You know, because when we put it in front of us, it so often becomes very clear we're spending very little time on the core stuff and a lot of time on the non-essentials. And I realize what you're going to say. No, that's not me. You don't know my job. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And you do too. You know it's a lie. You know that there's so much wasted time. I just think you probably don't know how much wasted time there is. And we all do it. We all have it. So, but the first thing is to get very, 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 very clear on what is important. Get that on a sheet of paper and think through and just make a note to yourself on a sheet of paper. Here's the key important task I am responsible for during the week. And then here are the things that I think, on another list, here are the things that I think I waste time on or that kill my time. And maybe it's not you wasting it, but I mean, you know what I mean. Meetings, exorbitant number of emails. This is what wastes time. The point here is to get a clear picture, to get your mind thinking about this. This is not a long activity. This is not a 1 hour, one day. You know, this, you can do this in 15 minutes. Get your head clear. Sometimes just seeing the problem in front of you, putting it on paper, thinking on paper, opens up your mind to possibilities and solutions. So that's the first thing, is write down on paper your core responsibilities and make notes over there. These are the things that are wasting a lot of time. So you got the two categories, your high priority and your low priority. Or as Stephen Covey would say, your Q1 and Q2 stuff and your Q3 and Q4 stuff. And now with this information in hand, don't assume you know. I mean, it's very important to do this, but now the second thing you want to do is you want to take this to the powers that be. You want to take this to your internal customers. Let's say your boss or your team members. You want to look at, hey, and you just want to tell them, hey, this, I've been thinking through how to get more control of my time, how to be more effective, how to get better control. And by the way, if you take that to your boss, that's what they want to hear. So don't get freaked out about that. If you take it to your team members, they're going to want to join in the exercise with you. If you want to take it to your peers, same thing. They're going to want to join in with you. But you want to get clear. You want to share with them, here are the things I think are most important. Here are the things I think that add value to the company. Am I right? I mean, it's a simple question. You just want to have a talking point. Am I right? Is this clear? You know, depending on your boss or your coworkers or whoever they are, you're going to get, you know, some fuzzy answers like, we're not real sure, or yes, absolutely, or no, you're wrong. This is it and this is it. Either way, you know, it's very important because they are your customers. They are the people you're serving. That's the business need that you're serving. So you want to, you know, for you, it may be one person. It may be 5, 10 people that you're serving. But you want to get a clear picture of what they think about your list of priorities. And you don't have to necessarily show them, hey, here's what's wasted time, because that can come off offensive. But you can talk about, here's some things that I think that maybe I could better utilize my time. You know, you can use all these corporate words. I need to maximize my efficiency on reading email. Point being, you have to engage your customers to understand what is important and what's not. Now, expect some odd things to come out of that. You know, you may learn that, hey, there's some things you don't have on your list that should be. You may learn there's some things that you think important that nobody else does. You may learn that they don't know what's important, which causes you to need to go a little further in your conversation with your customers and maybe go to your boss's boss with permission. Matter of fact, if your boss isn't clear, I would suggest, hey, Mr. or Ms. Boss, how about we take this to your boss and we kind of try to get some clarity so we can all get some control of our time? You know, the relationships there is what's key of how you would ask that question and how you would do that. But the point being, here's step one, is to get clarity on what you feel is important, what you feel is wasting time, and then step two is to get customer buy-in with that clarity and make sure that your assessment is accurate. Now, with all this information in hand, you can move to step three. Now, by the time you've come through step one and two, hopefully you do have clarity. Hopefully you do have those key objectives in hand now of what you need to be doing. You know, is it writing a report? Is it proposals? Is it calling on customers? Is it writing so many lines of code, writing functions of code, setting up meeting? Whatever it is that's most critical to get your job done should be top of mind now. So in this third step, you want to schedule the time to do those things first. Okay? Do the first things first. I mean, simple concept, we all know it, it's nothing new to you. And you're probably saying to yourself right now, this is nothing new, but don't ask yourself that. Like in the book Chet Holmes talks about in The Ultimate Sales Machine, it's not what you already know that's key, it's are you doing it or not that's key. So are you doing that? Are you putting that first thing first? So if you are coming in, let's say you're coming in at 7 in the morning to get that little bit of hour, that time where before people start bombarding you with questions, or worse, water cooler conversation. Don't focus on the trivial like cleaning out your email box. So trivial. Don't focus on that. Don't be tempted to open email. Instead, get done the main thing first. Now, if that is to send some emails, to set up some meetings or something, resist the temptation with every ounce of your being to answer other emails. Do the first thing first. Now, I use a tool called Nosby, a time management tool, where I have listed on there, and every day I have that first thing. Michael Hyatt calls him his non-negotiables. This is not negotiable. I do this first. Now, you may have some things you do before you leave the house, such as, I do devotions or quiet times, and oftentimes I'll do workouts in the morning. You know, so those are the first things. But then when you get to work, once you turn on your work hat, do that same thing. Do those high priority Q2, as Stephen Covey would say, those Q2 priorities immediately. Immediately, first thing in the morning, first thing in the week, and block out that time every single morning to focus on those high priority items. Is it an hour? Is it 15 minutes? Whatever it is, focus on high priority items first. Now, number four is to move on into an area where time is wasted, because I'm going to propose that if you take care of these high priority items, now granted, other people are asking you for stuff all the time. I get that. I know that. But the high priority items to you, if you take care of them, and you do those things first, you're so much further down the path of doing the critical things that impact your job, impact your bottom line. You know, but the fourth thing is, once you've identified some of these time killers, I mean, I know what they're going to be. They're going to be, as somebody calls it, drive-bys. You know, people that walk by your office or walk by your desk or walk by your cubicle, whatever it is, and want to have a chat. There's going to be emails that you... Much of that is wasted time. There's going to be meetings that, you know, we can't even get into how much wasted time. You know, you look at these things and you try to get control of some of these things one at a time. Like we have a podcast, I'll put a show notes on that, on how to get more effective use of email. You know, a lot of that's about writing email, but if you take the same thing, because so much of your email that you're writing is ineffective. All it does is create an email volley back and forth, and back and forth. And you try to get out a quick thought, but what you end up doing is generating massive amounts of email. So, you know, you want to look at taking control of those things that take control of you. If it's not essential email, you know, you want to learn to read email, process email, and an hour at max once per day. Now, of course, your job may depend on email if you're a support person or something like that, and so it's a different situation. But for most of us, email is not critical. It is not time-sensitive. I mean, within the hour, minute, anyway, time-sensitive. You know, we just want to look at email because we're curious what's going on there. You know, and again, you have to resist with all your temptation to open email. What your best thing to do is to read email 2 times a day and process it immediately. Handle it only once, 2 times a day. And whether that's 30 minutes or not, whatever that is, don't spend more time than that. Learn how to delete like a madman. Look, if it's an email, it's somewhere else. Learn to delete. If it's copied to 14 bazillion people, somebody else has it. Delete like a madman. Now, people make fun of me because I delete stuff aggressively. Aggressively, I do. But, you know, it doesn't ever seem to matter because most of that nobody ever asks me about, nobody cares about, or, oddly enough, somebody else handles it. Somebody on my team just takes care of it. Fortunately, I'm surrounded by great people. You may not be, but you still know. Most of it's a waste of time. So schedule it 2 times. I mean, this is just what you're looking for is little tricks to take control of a little of that time that's wasted. Manage the email better. Learn how to do it. It's a skill. You weren't born with email. It's not inherent. It's a process of communication. Learn how to be more effective with it. If you have to take a course in it, go listen to my podcast first. But if you have to go take a course in it, it's worth it. Meetings. What a killer. What a killer. Think about processing those. When you go into a meeting, ask for an agenda. If you're not controlling the meeting, ask for the agenda. Ask the people. And I don't mean be a rear about this. I mean, do so politely, gently, with respect. You know, and just say, hey, John, you know, I know we're going to this meeting. What's our objective? I just want to be sure I'm prepared. And, you know, because John may not have thought through the objective. And I think that's the question you want to ask. What would you like to come out of this meeting? We're all going to get together. You're going to have all of us smart people in the room. What would you like to come out of that? And I want to walk in prepared. And by the way, do walk in prepared to a meeting. So you don't have to say, well, I'll get back to y'all on that. You know, if you know what the meeting is about, if you know the meeting is about a budget report, go over the budget report, bring the budget report. Don't just say, well, I'll have to go back and look at those numbers. You know what they were. Bring them. Do it. Handle it then. There's no need to delay the outcome of a meeting because you weren't prepared. So But know what the agenda is going in and be prepared for that agenda and ask for the agenda. If you are having a meeting, set an agenda. Now, one thing I do on meetings is I try to set meetings for 30 to 45 minute increments. People just assume meetings are 1 hour. They always assume it's an hour. They get itchy after 55 minutes and they're ready to get up and go. And usually that's when they get to the point. So I try to collapse the time of a meeting to where we get to the point faster. That doesn't always work. Sometimes you discover you don't want it to work. That's okay. If you can try to drive people to get to the meeting point fast. Dave Ramsey says in his book Entree Leadership that he's got his schedule on a television screen on the wall so that everybody can see it. And he's in there, some gentleman's come into his office talking about football. He's got a 30-minute window. And the guy happens to glance up and see his calendar and says, you know, it's 15 minutes of talking about football, by the way. And guy looks up at his calendar and says, wow, you're really busy. Let's get to the point. And Dave comments, well, the next 15 minutes of that meeting, by the way, he had a 30-minute meeting, the next 15 minutes of that meeting was very productive. And that's what you want to really drive to. I'm all for being friends. I'm all for relationships. I'm all for conversation. But let's get to the point. You know, get to the point of the meeting. Fast, furious. Be a Nazi about it if you have to. Get to it. Get after it. Step 5. Use that elusive lunch hour. I mean, you know, we all need a chance to recharge and to break and things like that. But we usually, what we're doing on lunch hour is we are going hanging out. I mean, the typical corporate worker, we're going and hanging out at lunch with coworkers. And what do we do there? We whine and complain about work, the boss, customers, policies, whatever the case is. Get out of that habit. Now, if you're out and you're exercising during this hour, or you already have that Q2 activity, if you will, that high priority, high outcome activity, fine. You're using it well. But if you're not, if you're just going to lunch, you're eating a big fat burger that makes you big and fat, and you're wasting money, wasting time. What can you do there? Think about that hour. And it usually becomes more than an hour for many people in the corporate world. I know there's such thing as lunch hour, but for most people, corporate, it turns out an hour and a half or 2 hours in some cases. But that's keeping you away from what you really want to do. So what can you do during that lunch hour? Can you bring your lunch, save yourself money, and at the same time, maybe work on an objective for your own company? Can you set that time aside to do that? Can you instead maybe set a meeting? You need to do a meeting and you need people involved, and it's going to be an hour-long meeting, you know it, maybe an hour and a half. Set an agenda, call people together over lunch, and see if the boss will spring for lunch. I mean, if you can do it over lunch, get everybody fit. It's really amazing how many people show up for lunches, even working lunches, even though there's business being done because there's lunch being served. So think about how you could use that time. One thing that we do a lot is we do a lot of networking. So if you're meeting with somebody, it's a great chance to meet with somebody new, to do reverse interviews, which we'll have a link to that process. But it's a great time to step outside the office, step outside your circle, and meet somebody new. And especially if you're in business. If you're starting a new business and you're trying to learn something from somebody who's a master, buy them lunch. Now you're using the time, you're still being recharged and refreshed, you're thinking about something different, you're getting lunch, and you're working on your business. So think about that elusive lunch hour that is so often wasted. And while you need to recharge, you also are spending that time away from your family, and you're spending that time away from working on your dream. The sixth thing you want to do. This seems like a long list, I know, but it's not. I mean, it's things to think about. The sixth thing you want to do is you want to plan today, or plan tomorrow today. PTT. I even have on my calendar, PTT, at the end of the day. You know, at the end of the day, the chaos that went on, you know what needs to be done. You know that the next thing, first thing you need to do in the morning is to send that report to the attorney and get some feedback, to call on that customer, to run that test, whatever it is, you know, that thing that needs to be done because it's lingering and it's in your mind, by the way, as you go home, because you're thinking about, I need to do that. You go home, you get around the family and the kids and the wife and the husband, whoever, and that's what's on your mind. You're thinking about that. Well, get it off your stupid mind. I mean, that's the whole getting things done philosophy. It's what Nosby's great. You take it, and that's why planning tomorrow, today works. Because now it's fresh. Now it's churning. It's bothering you. So make a note. That next action, tomorrow, run that test. Call that customer. Have it on that list as one of the first things you do in the morning. And be specific. Make a specific note. Here is that next action. And by the way, make it actionable-oriented. Don't say, think about, because there's no action in that. I mean, it sounds like it, but there's no outcome. When you call a customer, it's concrete. When you run a test, it's concrete. When you send an email, it's concrete. You get the idea. Make it a specific action. But if you think about today, what you've got to do tomorrow, then you can get somewhere. And I kind of like the process of you're not going to get more than 6 actions done tomorrow. Let's be realistic. Assuming they're all going to take a half an hour or an hour. Now, again, assuming you're realistic. But you're not going to get more than 6 things done. I realize many of you think you can get 8 to 10 to 20 things done. You're dreaming. It never gets done. Many times we don't even get the 6 done. So think about, what are the 6 most important things I have to do? And again, the first thing is that non-negotiable stuff that was important, that high priority stuff. But what are those other things? What are those things that it's going to do? How long is it going to take? And remember, somewhere in this, I got to have time to check email 2 times a day for at least 30 minutes. Because that's going to burn up some of the day. And that's where we get caught. We get caught overloading the day. So plan tomorrow at the end of today. When you're fresh, when it's on your mind. And then the last thing, step 7. You've got to change your impression or change the message that you have. With the advent of email and smartphones and complete 100% 24-hour-a-day access, people expect us to be available. Now, I know your job situation may be very dependent upon this. Some of us, we have times where we have to be available. Some of us, our boss expects us to be available. But so much of that you've done to yourself. When you walk away, you need to be able to walk away. You do it to yourself when you go home and you start answering emails to the business. Don't. Work on your stuff. Don't answer business emails. Well, you do it to yourself when you make business calls after hours and you're on the way home, you remember, and you call somebody at home. When you do that, they expect that they can do the same to you. You do that when you answer your cell phone that's a business cell phone after hours. Again, expectations differ, but when you do that and they expect you will always do that and they know they can always get in touch with you no matter what time of day, not only are you teaching them you're available, but you're teaching them that it's okay for them to be available in work. And that's just not reasonable. It's devastating to you, to your family, keeps you from working on your other stuff, which is what's important here. So you want to change the expectations. If you just have to boldly go and talk to your boss and say, look, I'm getting a lot of calls at home. I would like to plan to not do that. I don't think it's healthy for you. I don't think it's healthy for me. It's not healthy for my family relationships. You know, how do me and you come together on a plan to cut this down? You know, so that's if it's your boss or your coworker or something. But so often it's not. So often it's just stuff you have done. You've set the expectation. People think it's okay. It's not. So your best line of defense is to not answer the phone after hours. Now, if you can't do that because it's a cell phone that maybe you will use for personal reasons, everything, think about getting a Google Voice number where all your phone calls from work go to that Google Voice number. And now you can tell it's coming from work. And so you can know not to answer that. You can tell that's not Grandmama Smith that's a work call because they're calling my number I've given out to work. So you find ways to segment what's going on so that you can take control of that. Same with text messaging, by the way. Shut it off. You're not a 24-hour machine. You're not a robot. Quit acting like one. Now, in those seven steps, those seven things to think about, those seven actions, I mean, obviously starting now, starting tomorrow morning, whenever you can start, by the way, now is much better than tomorrow morning, make that list. Start with that step one. Start taking some action. You know, this isn't going to be an overnight success. You're not going to immediately get carve out time, but you can move the dial. You can move the dial. And like in step seven, I have seen a individual who was working massive number of hours of overtime, who came up with a plan, or just really just hit frustration, and went to his boss, fully expecting to be fired. Fully expecting to be fired when he said this. And he told the boss, "Look, I'm going to work 40 hours a week from now on. I can't do any more." And the boss said, "Okay." And for at least a time, the workload backed off. That's all we're trying to do, is we're trying to work, find some plans, some activities. You may find these seven. Hey, if you have some other things at work, share them. If you have some tools, share them. Let us share them with other people. We all have the same problem. But if you want to work on your dream, you want to find something that you want to do, or maybe you just want to spend more time on downtime or more time with a family, you first have to control the beast. And you're going to find out that most of the beast is within you.
Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. Hopefully that, with the road noise and the background noise, you found that useful. And look, like everything that you're doing, you're not going to have a perfect solution. You probably may not be able to pull all these things off, at least initially. I'm going to go back to something that somebody has told me, and I've heard many times before, is whenever you learn something new, carve out some time to at least try something. So look back at that first step of looking at doing a time analysis and just taking a look at where you are. I encourage you to do that. Try that one simple thing to see if you can't carve out a few minutes, maybe 15 minutes more a day to try that to see what happens. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for participating. I really appreciate it. I'm really encouraged by the comments I get back through email. I get a lot of comments in email, and we get some comments on the blog itself at dalecallahan.com. And I encourage you to do that too. And we also would like, actually, any feedback you can give. Constructive criticism is just wonderful. Questions are wonderful. Rather than me be addressing questions I think you have, I get questions that you've given me directly. I learn a lot from your questions. Even the simple questions really sometimes hit me. I learn a tremendous amount about thinking through the process by the questions that people ask me. So please do. I'll go to my blog at dalecallahan.com. There's a place there on the side called SpeakPipe where you can click it and you can just leave a voicemail message right there. Nothing fancy about it. Just click it. Voicemail message comes straight to me. Very easy way to do it. You can also reach us through email at dale@dalecallahan.com. You can reach me that way, and that comes straight to me. And, of course, commenting on the blog, commenting on the podcast. And I do encourage you to make your voice heard and go to iTunes and leave your feedback there. We just ask that you would give us a high rating. If you like this show and you like what we're doing, that you would rate it, that you would give feedback to others. Is it for me? Yes. But it's more important, it's for other people to give your feedback, to express your opinion, and to help guide others who are looking and kind of having the same struggles that you are and the struggles that we talk about. And I thank you, and we are wishing each of you a wonderful rest of the week. Where up and down the garden, that's June's flat earth.